Thank you, choir. Only God. That's really important to remember. Only God. Our scripture comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. This is a continuation of Jesus' instruction to his disciples that we started last week. Jesus says this, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So last week, I talked about Jesus' instruction for his followers to stay grafted to him in order to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus told his disciples that they must stay connected to him, and then their lives would be the evidence of God's power at work within them. That was true for the disciples. That's true for us as well. Jesus also told the disciples that God would prune his disciples to make them able to bear fruit. Now, to a tree or to a bush, pruning means getting something chopped off. Aren't you glad we're not trees? God still prunes us, however, through correction, sometimes through adversity, so that we can bear more fruit and better fruit, all by the power of the Holy Spirit. I found that it's important to not focus on the pain of pruning that God might allow to come into my life and to not complain about the correction or the adversity that God might use to remove the distractions that separate me from him, and I would encourage you to do the same. But instead, it's important to focus on the incredible love and blessings that come from God. God is helping us to take on an attitude of gratitude. So, let us be grateful that God is tenderly tending to us like a gardener to make us more like himself. God is making our love and our patience, those are two of the fruit of the Spirit, God is making our love and our patience towards God first and then towards other people to be more like the love and the patience that God shows toward each of us. I've seen gardens that have been professionally tended. I've seen yards that have been landscaped and perfectly manicured. My yard's not like that. But I've seen other people have these kinds of yards and gardens. There are no weeds. The foliage is perfectly shaped. There are no dead spots or withering branches. Of course, there are no dandelions. Those gardens are like works of art, and they're displayed for many people to enjoy. And I know some of you here enjoy that kind of gardening. Your talent and your handiwork is something that you like for others to enjoy as well. And you realize that the beauty of your landscaping doesn't just happen. It takes work. It takes getting down on your knees, getting dirty, getting muddy, pulling out the jaggers. A beautiful garden does not just happen overnight. And I found from talking to people who have beautiful gardens that the best gardens are carefully planned before they are ever planted. God has a plan for each of our lives. God expects us to work with Him. That's called our walk of faith. God helps us, but it takes an effort on our part. It takes an effort, it takes plenty of time, it takes work to make sure that the garden of our lives, the gardens of our hearts, are kept free of the jaggers and of sin and disobedience, kept free of the weeds that distract us from God. It's not just about keeping up appearances. As Christ followers, we are intentionally working at growing in our faith and love for Jesus so that we can continue to be vital and healthy as Christ followers. We are also working toward a heavenly reward. Seeking a heavenly reward is part of our faith in God. And as we bear the fruit of the Spirit, we are investing in that heavenly reward. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this: "Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to God must believe that He exists and that God rewards those who earnestly seek Him." Unquote. What that means is how we live for Jesus demonstrates whether or not we belong to Jesus. Matthew 12, 33 and 34, Jesus says, "Make a tree good and its fruit will be good." Or, "Make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." Unquote. Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23, that's where you find the list of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And out of those nine fruit of the Spirit that God makes us able to bear, love is the first one. It's intentional that love is listed as the first fruit because love is the basis out of which all of the other fruit-filled attributes and attitudes are expressed in our lives. Love. Did you know that God's definition of love has nothing to do with Valentine's Day or maintaining warm, fuzzy feelings? God's love, God's definition of love, is expressed most visibly in Jesus. God makes us able to love others with the same kind of love that drove Jesus willingly to the cross for the sake of our souls. It's the kind of love that's willing to give up its rights and sacrifice whatever is necessary in order to help others out of love for Jesus. As Christ followers, we are willing to give up our rights and even humble ourselves before other people in order to follow Jesus like a servant. Maundy Thursday is the time we remember Jesus' Last Supper with His disciples before His crucifixion. It's also the day when we remember how Jesus washed the disciples' feet. In the act of washing the disciples' feet, Jesus was showing in a practical way how to not be proud. That's what He was showing the disciples, was how to not be proud, but instead to humble themselves before other people like a servant. I'm reading the book right now called Shepherd of the Hills. It's by Harold Wright. Listen to these words. "A gentle spirit may express itself in the rude words of the unlearned, but a gentle spirit is not rude. The spirit of a bully may speak the language of learning or religion. It is still the spirit of a bully. Strength may wear the garb of weakness and still be strong. And a weakling may carry the weapons of strength, but fight with a faint heart." Unquote. We don't have to smash someone else's pride in order to protect our own. There may be times, I know there have been with me, there may be times when it comes into your head that with a couple of well-chosen words, you could give a person a good and proper thrashing for thinking they are so much better than you. And because you are a Christ follower, you keep your mouth shut and choose not to do so, because you are willing to pay the price of being humble before God. I've found, and maybe you have too, that when you silence yourself like God's servant, a servant who always stands before the Lord and is willing to do God's bidding, then you are acting like the meek that Jesus talks about. Jesus says in Matthew 5:5, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Unquote. When we are meek, like Jesus instructs, we are investing in a heavenly reward. In heaven, we will be recognized. In heaven, we will be rewarded for the times that we deliberately choose to be meek in order to stay humble before God. It's all about our relationship with God and living out God through our lives. Sometimes it is pure misery to willfully humble yourself like this. And if that's the case for you, take heart. James chapter 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." It's a promise you can stand on. It's a promise from God for each one of us to believe. God shall lift you up when you are humble before God. Being humble is the kind of sacrifice of love that Jesus is willing to sacrifice in order to help others. Anybody who is not a Christ follower has a hole in their hearts. It's a hole that only Jesus can fill. When we turn to Christ, Jesus fills that hole in our hearts. Only Jesus can fill it. Only Jesus can understand it. It's Jesus that we need to turn to fill that hole in our hearts when we feel lonely and isolated, even after we are a Christ follower. That hole is Jesus-shaped, and only Jesus can fill it. So whether we are a Christ follower or we're talking to somebody who's thinking about becoming a Christ follower, recognize that the hole in our hearts is a hole that only Jesus can fill and understand. So we need to be remembering and be grateful for the price that Jesus paid to save our souls and fill that hole. 1 Corinthians 13 is a familiar passage of Scripture. "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Love does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails." Love is the first fruit of the Holy Spirit. For us to love the way Jesus loves, for us to love the way the Bible tells us there in 1 Corinthians 13, we need to begin showing love in our words and our actions to all people, to everyone. We already do that. We need to continue. We can start showing this kind of love by going beyond the "Hi, how are you?" questions with people beside us, even here in church. So I want you to do something. I want you to look at someone here in this church who is not related to you. Okay, you might need to turn around. Look at somebody who is not related to you. Now, eyeball them. Do you know their birthday or their favorite hobby? Okay. Do you know what makes them laugh or what frightens them? All right, here's another one. Here's a trick question. Do you know their name? Take time to find out. Take time to love them enough to care and care enough to ask. Let them see that you do love them. 1 Corinthians 13, that's called the love chapter in the Bible. That's not just for weddings. We hear it mostly at weddings, but it's not just for weddings. It's God's practical instruction for how Christians are to get along with each other and respect each other no matter what our differences are. It's how we're to prove to the world that we are Christ followers in a way that the world cannot ignore because we're not acting like the world. This will let people know that we are Christians by our love. It's God's love for us that enables us to grow as individual Christians. It's God's love that we need to share with whoever we meet, whoever God allows to cross our path. We're about to receive the sacrament of communion. God sent his only Son to be crucified and rise again because God loves us too much to leave us without a way to be reunited to him. And Jesus is that way. In fact, Jesus is the only way. Communion is about the new covenant God made with us through Jesus. Jesus who was willing to sacrifice himself so that we can be grafted into him. It's because of Jesus' sacrifice that we can bear the fruit of the Spirit in all of our lives and then live in heaven forever with Jesus when our bodies die. Communion is about each one of us choosing to willingly take up our cross of obedience. Communion is about choosing to willingly sacrifice those things in our lives that separate us and distract us from a full and healthy relationship with God. And most of all, communion is about us remembering the love that Jesus displayed for us and the terrible suffering that Jesus endured for us so that each one of us can live forever with God. It's good to remember, and it's good to thank God for the price that Jesus paid for our souls. Amen.